people have confused pietism with piety and dumped piety along with dumping pietism. It's resulted in a real confusion about this.
Pastor Will Wheaton, on his presentation at the 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case for godliness.
Any thought about dealing with how we actually live our lives is regarded as being, that's law. That's what we've been freed from. We don't have to think about that. Well, no. The whole point is, what does it look like to live with Jesus Christ having been crucified and raised from the dead?
You can meet and hear Pastor Wheaton Friday, June 8th and Saturday, June 9th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. Collinsville is 15 miles east of St. Louis. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385.
So if you went to university and you believed something that the professor believed was wrong, you would be expected to try to hold your own. You've gone from there to education as emotional and personal validation.
Because you oppose the intentional killing of an innocent human being in the womb, you are responsible to take on all kinds of other issues. Now, Todd, nobody else gets hit with this.
What we believe about marriage is related to who we think Christ is, what Christ does for his bride, the church, what the church is, how Christ possesses his bride, and what he does for her.
A very secular understanding of sin, where sin is not you rebelling against God, sin is you participating in the psychological oppression of me in some way.
This retired Lutheran school religion, science, and math teacher loves to listen to and continues to learn from Issues Etc. And on March 14th, I still love a good-sized piece of pie. 3.14159265358.
It is a little shocking for us to hear stories like the one we're going to hear first off here on Issues Etc. The story of two women, a matron and a maid, Perpetua and Felicitas. The church remembers them on this day, the 7th of March, because they are among the martyrs of the early church, in this case, the 3rd century. Their story so quickly touching so many Christians and giving courage and a joyful end to so many Christian martyrs throughout the church's long existence. Who were they? Why did they suffer under Roman persecution, and how did they die? We'll be answering all those questions as we remember Perpetua and Felicitas with Pastor Will Wheaton. Welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be spending some time with Pastor Will Wheaton remembering Perpetua and Felicitas. Then Dr. Mike Horton will join us, where we will have part two of the conversation we began yesterday with him on American evangelicalism and Eastern Orthodoxy. Yesterday, we talked about sin, free will, redemption. Today we turn to justification and sanctification. Then Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will be with us through hour two of Issues Etc. Our series introducing the books of the Bible continues. We are all the way up to 1 Samuel, which is kind of the last book of Judges because he's a judge. He's also a prophet, and it does introduce, of course, the very beginning of that era of the kings in the Old Testament. A lot to do with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller in hour two of Issues Etc. Joining us to remember 3rd century martyrs Perpetua and Felicitas, Pastor Will Wheaton, a regular guest, director of worship and chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He is host of a radio program called Thy Strong Word and author of the books Celebrating the Saints and Thank, Pray, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. What a joy to be with you on this day.
It's a little shocking to us to remember female martyrs. Why were the Romans and other early persecutors of the church willing to kill both male and females for professing the faith?
I think we need to remember that Satan is always behind the persecutions, and Satan has a great fear and loathing of both women and children. And we see him aiming at that throughout the church's history, and of course, in the scripture itself. You think about the picture in Revelation 12 of the dragon ready to consume the seed of the woman as soon as it's born. And how much the connection with that is that he hates the human body. He knows that it was in a human body that he was overcome and that salvation was won for the human race and he lost. So he has this thing that he hates human bodies, but he especially directs that then at the woman who bears children and at the children that she bears. He has a special hatred for them. And we shouldn't be surprised when we see that creeping through all the stories of the persecutions. There were many, many women martyrs, not just men martyrs. But the two that we celebrate today, they early on impressed themselves on the church's memory in a very deep way.
Talk about the kind of third century persecution. This is persecution that comes in this case sometime after the earliest persecutions of the kind of the apostolic, post-apostolic era. And well before Christians see any light at the end of the tunnel when the persecutions are, at least from the Roman government, halted.
Picture, though, I mean, we shouldn't have the idea that Rome consistently went to the extreme of what we see with these two all the time. The persecutions would be intense they would like flare up and then they would fade away at one place and flare up in another and then fade away. And so throughout the empire, no Christian ever felt themselves safe in worldly terms. They knew that it could happen anywhere, anytime. It was a bad situation for them, but it was also something that they kept saying to themselves, it is a little cloud, it will pass. And with that word of comfort, they were able to make it through. And sure enough, in any place, it never, you know, went for a terribly long time. It would flare up and then it would die down and then start somewhere else. Is it okay to kind of frame these two with the word of Jesus?
Sure.
One of the most difficult things Jesus ever said is recorded in Luke 14, verse 26. He said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." C.S. Lewis observed that, you know, obviously he who is love incarnate by commanding us to hate is not telling us to harbor resentment and loathing toward the people that we normally refer as our loved ones. But he is telling us that our loyalty and obedience to him has to come before any loyalty and obedience to them. And when we make that choice, Lewis observed, they oftentimes do experience it precisely as hatred. And I can't help but think of these two martyrs right at the start of the 200s commemorated today. Perpetua's wealthy dad was no dummy. He knew the massive danger that his daughter was placing herself in by accepting baptism into Christ. He'd probably just expressed it like joining those mad Christians, that mad sect. He loved his daughter very much. And when she did get arrested, when she did get jailed, he visits her. He begs her, "Please don't do this. Do not allow this Christ of yours to come between you and me, between you and your daughter. You would let Christ deprive your daughter of a mother. Why do you hate me so? Why do you treat me like this? Why do you love this Jesus more than you love your family?" And of course, Perpetua did not despise her dad, and no doubt she took no pleasure whatever in causing him pain. But she could not choose to please him above pleasing the one who laid down his life for her and for us all on Calvary's cross. And I'm sure the exact same scenario played out for Felicitas, her servant. She also was a mother. She also left children in the care of relatives to face with her beloved mistress this martyr's death. And it was a bad one. According to the records, they were first scourged by the gladiators, and then they were savage. They turned wild beasts on them. And then they finally just finished them off with the sword. But bleeding, dying, they grab each other. They share together the kiss of peace. The peace that they'd come to know in Jesus and the promise of his victory over the grave, his blood that in love blotted out every sin of the world, all of theirs and all of those persecutors who were doing this to them, the blood that made them so much more than a mistress and a servant, that made them sisters in Christ and sisters of Christ. The unswerving devotion to Christ that these two ladies showed above all the claims of family and blood, the joy of their companionship in dying together in Christ, their scorn of death and pain. This, the memory of these two, it has lived on in the church for century after century. Their example and witness, it has served to bless and to strengthen so very many others who followed them into persecution and suffering and death. And you know, I invite any of our listeners today, the next time you're at a confirmation service and you hear that question ring out, do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and suffer and faith and suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? You think of these two. By the way, shouldn't that question much rather have been to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from him? That would have been much more at the heart of it. You know, in our hymnal, we actually have a sideways mention of these two. It's hymn number 661 in Lutheran Service Book. The Son of God goes forth to war. Listen to these words. A noble army, men and boys, the matron and the maid, around the Savior's throne rejoice in robes of light arrayed. They climb the steep ascent of heaven through peril, toil and pain. O God, to us may grace be given to follow in their train. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, there's Perpetua and Felicitas right in our hymnal. The church remembers these two and their amazing courage, especially in the face of the satanic hatred of women and children.
They seem to, at least Perpetua seems to be aware that the people who have drawn the sword against her are not really behind this. They're certainly not guiltless, but as you've said, Satan was behind this. She even, according to legend, she shows some mercy to her persecutors. She falls on her own or on the sword that because they couldn't.
They can't bring themselves to finally do her in. Yeah, right. Yeah. And this shows, I think she is, you know, both of these ladies die in the spirit of Saint Stephen, of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And they know we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is never the enemy. And in their compassion, they look upon their persecution. So one of the really odd phenomenon of the entire Christian martyr movement was how many times people that were persecuting and actually carrying it out ended up stepping in with the martyrs and saying, I'm with them. They know that this Jesus has this victory over death. I'm going to stand with them. I'm not going to stand with you anymore. And the persecutors themselves became Christians and in many instances were killed for it.
Pastor Will Whedon is our guest. He's Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, host of a radio program called Thy Strong Word, and author of the books Celebrating the Saints and Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the other perspective on martyrdom, the heavenly one that we find in the book of Revelation in the words, O Lord, how long?
This Lent, as you reflect on your chocolate and caffeine dependence, take a few moments to examine your reading habits, too. Are you feeding your soul on a diet of clickbait and tabloid fluff? Why not try a magazine with real spiritual substance? The Lutheran Witness brings the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology, and culture right to you during Lent and throughout the year. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Memoria Press now offers 6 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for students with special needs. These full-year curriculum packages for children with learning challenges enable you to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art, poetry, science, history, Latin, literature, and Christian studies with incremental classical methods. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR17 to save on resources for your home or school.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Zion Lutheran, Muscoota, Illinois. Redeemer Lutheran, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Grace Lutheran, Auburn, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Pleasant Plains, Illinois. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word, Rochester Hills, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Laramie, Wyoming. Redeemer Lutheran, Seymour, Indiana. Zion Lutheran, East Moline, Illinois. And Peace Lutheran, South St. Louis County. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about early 3rd century martyrs Perpetua and Felicitas. Our guest, Pastor Will Whedon, has written an excellent column in the latest issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled When You Fast. Pastor Whedon does a great job of teaching what the Bible and the Lutheran confessions teach about fasting. You can find out more about the Lutheran Witness at cph.org/witness. Interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective, the Lutheran Witness magazine, cph.org/witness. Will, if you would, talk about the other perspective on Christian martyrdom. That's the one we find in the book of Revelation with those martyrs under the altar crying out those words, O Lord, how long?
Yeah, it's one of the most beautiful passages there in Revelation, Revelation 6. When you're dealing with apocalyptic literature, it's always dangerous to draw too many specifics. But what you know, I think the point of that passage is that they recognize that whatever blessings they've received as martyrs in Christ now, they know that the redemption is not done until the resurrection of the dead. They're waiting for that final triumph. The final avenging of the blood of the martyrs is when the martyrs are raised from death on the last day. And that's what the martyrs under the altar are crying for. That's what their blood pleads for their deliverance from death and destruction itself. So even though we confess, gathered into heaven, you know, embraced in the arms of Jesus, I mean, Jesus himself stands up to welcome Stephen home. You know, we don't want to lose that. That's a beautiful, beautiful image. But we know that it's not done. Well, how does it, that Jeff Gibbs puts it, a friend of mine puts this on his all of his correspondence. He says, heaven is great, but it's not the end of the world. Which is right on. The martyrs are a witness to us that it's not over until the body is raised and body and soul are reunited and the new heavens and the new earth are here. And they are oriented towards that reality. That's what they were so certain of that reality that they went into death confessing Christ. That's a beautiful witness to us.
The vast majority of the church's martyrs are anonymous. That's true both of the ancient world and anonymous, not to God, but to us, and of the many, many Christian martyrs and those suffering persecution today in our lifetimes. Talk about that aspect of Christian martyrdom.
Yeah, when we select and remember some of these amazing stories, it's in no way denigrating all the stories that God alone knows. One of the most beautiful promises of the Word of God is that He remembers us. And when He remembers us, who are you? Who am I? When we go in 20, 30 years time, who's even going to have heard of any of us, right? And if the Lord Jesus doesn't come first, and imagine 100 years from now, we'll be long since forgotten. And so it is with the vast majority of Christ's people and with the vast majority of his martyrs. But there is one who has named us his. And his promise to us is, I'm not going to forget you. At the end of the world, I will not forget you. I will call you by name and you will stand again before me. The life that I gave you, I did not give to throw away. The life that I gave you, I gave that it might be yours forever. And the Lord Jesus then, by his gracious promises, gives us the martyrs to point us toward that reality again and again. And the ones we know, the ones we don't know, it's all okay. He remembers. He knows. He will never forget. And that is such a beautiful, beautiful, comforting joy.
We may be tempted to assume that, you know, with the passage of time and the church's remembrance, that the accounts of these ancient martyrs have been kind of romanticized or made better than they really were, that maybe they did not face death for Christ's sake as peacefully and joyfully as they seem to have. And someone would say, I don't know that I could do that. I mean, I don't want to die even for the sake of Christ. I hope that I would be willing to speak to that person who says, I don't know, they seem almost too ideal of an example to remember on a day like this.
Yeah, you know, that is a feature of the martyr stories that a lot of people struggle with, the idea that how can they be so overwhelmingly cheerful and positive as they go into such suffering and death? Is that a romanticization of it? I don't think it is. I do think that the joy of the Lord is your strength, and that the martyrs, as those who really believed and trusted that in Jesus they had forgiveness for all sin, that in him and in his finished work they had a home prepared for them eternally in the heavens, that they had the promise that their bodies would be raised from the dead. With their eyes focused on that, I think they walk forward. I'm not saying that they walk forward without trembling. Our Lord trembled in the garden. I do believe, though, that as they walk forward to meet this, they did fix their eyes, well, as Hebrews says, on what is not seen. And focusing on what is not seen and on the certainty of what God has promised, they made it through. When we think, I don't know if I could do that. Well, they didn't make it through in their own strength. None of them did. All of them, if they made it through, they made it through in faith. And faith is always impossible for human beings. It only comes as gift from God. And so if God is going to call you to martyrdom, he can give you the faith that will trust him and walk in the confidence into the lion's den. I mean, you may have an end like Daniel, where you get rescued from it, right? But whether Daniel was rescued or not, the three young men in the fiery furnace, whether they were rescued or not, they're willing to go into it knowing the one who would finally, at the end, deliver them. And Christians can face our impending suffering and death the same way.
Finally then, Will, if you would, we may never reach that level of suffering, persecution, or even the threat of death, although it certainly looks like the nearer generations to us, even here in the insulated Western world, may have to face something like this.
Yeah, I think it's coming, yeah.
But we are all, in our lives as the baptized children of God, called to suffer with Christ and to receive that suffering as one of his highest gifts. Talk about that.
Yeah, that is one of the things that the world will never, ever, ever wrap its mind around. St. Paul very clearly can speak of receiving suffering from the hand of God as a gift. And one of the most precious statements that the great Lutheran theologian Martin Chemnitz ever made is that from eternity, God has determined the crosses by which we will be conformed in suffering to his Son. So the sufferings that come into our life, whether they are like the horrible sufferings at the end for Perpetua Infelicitas, or whether they're small sufferings along the way, all of them come to us from the hand of God, who is actually giving us in them the opportunity to have fellowship with his Son as we receive them from his hand and learn with Jesus to drink the cup of suffering. I mean, think of how Paul can put that. I mean, he's so bold when he says, you know, I fill up, you know, what is behind, what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ for the sake of his body, the church. And we hear that, we go, what? You know what? He's not talking about anything lacking in salvation, but it's talking about the sufferings by which God will continue to sanctify his people. Nothing like the suffering that he sends us teaches us to rely on the things that are not seen and not felt, that is, on his word, on his promises. The suffering just opens our eyes to that. And then we'll be like John in the book of Revelation, to be able to see the unseen and to know the unknowable and to be filled with joy inexpressible, full of glory.
Pastor Will Whedon is Director of Worship and Chaplain of the International Center for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's host of a radio program called Thy Strong Word and author of the book Celebrating the Saints and Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, Recover the Joys of Piety. You will find links to both of these at our website. Click Listen on Demand, issuesetc.org. Will, thank you.
Thank you so much, Todd, for the opportunity.
On the other side of the break, we will take up the subject of justification and sanctification in a two-part series, part two coming up, with Dr. Mike Horton of the White Horse Inn on American Evangelicalism and Eastern Orthodoxy.
Time for the 5th Annual Metro East Home and Garden Show, March 17th and 18th, added to benefit Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville. The show is a fundraiser produced by a volunteer parents group with the support of over 70 exhibitors and partners. Admission and parking are free. Hear home and garden speakers from Frisella's Nursery and Mosby Building Arts, see a monster truck from Dex's Tree Service, meet radio personalities and Fred Bird too. Participate in the Cardinal Glennon Safety Fair, child fingerprinting and fire safety, and take advantage of pet adoption, electronic recycling, and shredding services on site. Register to win a fire pit from Outdoor Creations and an all-inclusive trip for two at an AM resort courtesy of Jadina Tweston at Travel One and Fun Jet Vacations. Restrictions apply. The Metro East Home and Garden Show is sponsored by the Bank of Edwardsville, CJDE Recycling, Scott Credit Union, Mosquito Joe's, Riverbender, and EdGlennToday.com. Show details can be found at MEHGS.org or on Facebook.
Hi, this is Pastor Brian Katchelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Over the next 5 years, Los Alamos National Laboratory is planning to hire thousands of new employees in the areas of science, engineering, security, administration, and construction. If you have both a technical and confessional mind, Los Alamos may be the place for you. I invite you to explore the possibilities on the websites for the Town, Laboratory, and Redeemer Lutheran Church.
Thanks to generous supporters, tuition for all incoming residential pastoral ministry and deaconess students at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, will be paid in full. Hi, this is Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess in the 2018-19 academic year at ctsfw.edu.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armed forces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armed forces.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.